15, sorry, did I say 15? Acts chapter 21. Let me apologize. There's a typographical error on the outline tonight. There's a typographical error where we, when you look at the topic tonight, it says the merits and the demerits of holy compromise. Then our text is Acts chapter 21, verse 26 to 36. Now, where it says reread, it should be Acts 21, 17 to 25, not Acts 15. So please, if you can correct that, reread Acts chapter 21, verse 17 to 25 for context. So it's not Acts 15, it's Acts 21. So please, let's correct that. And if that can be corrected online for those also following us. Right. The study tonight will follow a little bit of a guided pattern. And by guided pattern, I mean I'll give us some questions. And all we are looking for on each table are the answers. Now, this table is depleted now. Did I deplete that table? Okay, I did. All right, let's balance things now. Sir, do you mind joining this table? No, no, no. Sir, Sir Kingsley. Right, okay. Yeah, we're okay there. So, now, we have been, our last study, and let's remember we're studying, we want to avoid teaching so that we all can contribute. We're all leaders. So we will not really be teaching much in our Bible study. We'll just be studying together. So, Acts chapter 21, when we studied verses 17 to 25, we titled it A Holy Compromise. So if more people come, let them just join this table and the other tables. We might have to extend to a sixth table. We're just breaking bread together on tables. So that's what's responsible for our seating arrangement. So when we studied Acts chapter 21 from verse 17 to 25, we noticed something, because I want to give us the context so that we can now understand what we need to do tonight and what we are looking for. We saw something there that Paul, on his missionary journey, he came back to Jerusalem. The Bible says in verse 16 that after this, is it verse 16 now? Yeah, verse 15, that after this we got ready and went up to Jerusalem. And some of the disciples in Caesarea went with us. Right, the crux of the matter there was he went on different missionary journeys and then he was going back to Jerusalem. When you remember, if you recall, it was from Jerusalem that Paul and Barnabas were sent forth to go into the Gentile nations to preach the gospel. So he was coming back now to Jerusalem. And of course, throughout his missionary journeys, the Jews from Jerusalem were the ones who will literally come to where he was and attack them. They attacked the doctrine and attacked what he was preaching. And now he was coming back to Jerusalem. So they warned him when he got to Jerusalem that people here, the Jews here, when you see from verse 20, it says, when they heard it, they glorified God. They said to him, they were giving Paul a feedback that you see, brother, this is the English Standard Version. How many thousands there are among the Jews of those who have believed? They are all zealous for the law. And verse 21, they have been told about you. that you are teaching all the Jews who are among the Gentiles to forsake the laws of Moses. And also telling them not to circumcise, telling them not to follow the Jewish customs. And they were now counseling him from verse 22. These were the elders in Jerusalem. They told him, do what we're advising you, so to speak. There are four men here who are under a vow. Take these men, purify yourself with them. Pay their expenses, shave your heads, so that these people who think you are against the Jews and the laws of Moses will know that there is nothing that they have been told about you, but you are still, you know, kind of someone who observes the law. You have nothing against the Jewish culture. You have nothing against the teaching of Moses. And so they literally counseled him to do a little bit of a compromise. Just shave your head. Observe this particular custom. I think it's a particular custom that has to do with taking a vow. I think it's the vow of a Nazarite, but you know, let's not go deep into that. So basically he compromised and did as they told him. So tonight, when we study verse 26 to 36, we are going to see the effect or the consequences of him compromising. So as a result of the consequences we're going to read, I would like us to answer that what are the merits and the demerits when we compromise. And we are defining the compromise, it's a holy one. So the first thing I want the leaders on the table, I think Damola, you have to lead that table tonight. Sir, did you hear me? Okay, you leave that table. Who's the leader on this table? Josephine? You lead, sorry, who's, the leader is not there. Okay, I'm just appointing leaders now. It's just to guide everybody. And then we have Ezekiel on this table. And who's leading that table? Okay, Uncle Folusha should lead that table. And then, of course, we have Uncle Charles there. So, what do we understand by a holy compromise? I want us to come up with a definition. We have discussed it before. What's a holy compromise from the past study? This is to refresh our memories. And then, when we make a holy compromise, what are the merits? And what are the demerits? So, three questions we're going to answer tonight. Okay? What do we understand by a holy compromise? So, we come up with a definition on the tables. And then, what are the merits if we make a holy compromise? What are the merits of it? And then, what could be the demerits when you take a compromise that is holy? Do we understand? Only one yes. So let me read. So after Paul compromised, okay, shaved his head and all that, let's see the consequences. So let's all listen and let's see what will strike us as usual. Just listen with an open mind. Okay, he had taken the advice of the elders. He went, he shaved his head. He identified with the Jewish custom, with the laws of Moses. And now these are the effects of that. Verse 26, Acts 21. I will read, so please let's listen at this stage. And then we'll try and answer the questions. And then I'll just kind of do a quick summary for us tonight. Verse 26. Then Paul took the men, and the next day he purified himself along with them and went into the temple, giving notice when the days of purification will be fulfilled and the offering presented for each one of them. When the 7 days were almost completed, the Jews from Asia, seeing him in the temple, stirred up the whole crowd and laid hands on him, crying out, "Men of Israel, help! This is the man who is teaching everyone everywhere against the people and the law and this place. Moreover, he even brought Greeks into the temple and has defiled this holy place. For they have previously seen Trophimus, the Ephesian, with him in the city. And they supposed that Paul had brought him into the temple. Then all the city was stirred up, and the people ran together. They seized Paul and dragged him out of the temple. And at once the gates were shut. And as they were seeking to kill him, word came to the tribune of the cohort that all Jerusalem was in confusion. He at once took soldiers and centurions and ran towards them. And when they saw the tribune and the soldiers, they stopped beating Paul. Then the tribune came up and arrested him and ordered him to be bound with two chains. He inquired who he was and what he had done. Some in the crowd were shouting one thing, some another. And as he could not learn the facts because of the uproar, he ordered him to be brought into the barracks. And when he came to the steps, he was actually carried by the soldiers because of the violence of the crowd. For the mob of the people followed, crying out, "Away with him." Paul compromised, but these were the consequences. So, three things. Question number one, what did we discuss and what do we understand by what a holy compromise is? And secondly, what are the merits when we make a holy compromise? I want us to apply this. Maybe it could be from a practical experience that some of us have had, so we can share it around the table. What are the merits? And thirdly, what are the demerits when we make such compromises? Are we clear? All right, so we have about 10 minutes to just come up with the answers. 10 minutes. And the clock starts now. So let the leaders guide us. Did you write the questions down? Okay, so of what they understand by holy compromise. Yep. Which group would like to give us their definition? Okay. Yes, that group. Okay, they got there before you. Can they give them some volume?
Hello. Holy
Our mic is working.
Their mic is compromised.
As is working.
Somebody has compromised their mic.
Okay, we'll just do the holy compromise and allow them to...
All right, your mic is working now. Give them some volume there. They got there first. Don't worry, we'll... Yeah, go on.
Okay. I'll just summarize the different definitions.
Yes.
And one key point that we had was we tried to look at what compromise was, and that's trying to have a middle ground to enable unity and to provide a solution to a conflict. And we defined holy compromise as being flexible enough without sinning in a bid to win others, especially when we want to win them to God or when we want to come to agreement on a particular issue.
Okay.
And it's mainly to bring all the parties together in agreement and unity.
Without sinning. Okay, all right. So this group, since you are eager to talk, give us one merit. One merit. Demerit. Merit. Demerit.
We said one merit is winning the souls of the people.
Okay.
Or being able to win people over to the Lord.
Okay.
On the Lord's side.
All right. One demerit.
You could be misunderstood or seen as being hypocritical.
You could be misunderstood and seen as hypocritical. Merit. Please give them the microphone. Merit. Please just keep the mic switched on.
Building relationships, peacemaking.
building relationships and peacemaking.
And unity, forming unity.
Okay.
Yeah, one of the merits is...
Demerits.
It can lead to division.
Please give them volume. It can lead...
To division.
To division.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. So which group will also like to give us their definition of compromise? Definition. Okay, you want to give one demerit. Don't worry. I need definition. Let's get a definition. Let's understand holy compromise. They are big words, but I want us to break it down. Okay, yes, quickly.
The definition we have here is shifting grounds or rules that do not violate God's word in an attempt to accommodate what you would normally not do.
Say that again.
Shifting grounds or rules that do not violate God's word to accommodate what you would normally not do in an attempt of peace or mutual relationship.
Okay. On any of the tables, did anyone come up with, maybe they share their experience of some compromise they made, and maybe just their experience on something they had to compromise on. Did it come up on any of the tables? Somebody's experience? Okay, it came up here. All right, let's hear it from Kingsley, the master of compromise. MC.
Okay, please. So this happened when I was in my youth service. Youth service is like paramilitary training that you do at the end of your uni. So you go to a particular zone in my country where I come from, and then try to serve your fatherland. And then we have this Christian group called NCCF. It's like a fellowship, like an fellowship. Assembly, okay. like we have here. And then so we do go to the villages. I'm trying to know what to use.
No, that's okay. So you go to villages to evangelize.
To evangelize.
So what happened?
I got there and they got a meal for us. The villagers got a meal for us, and I don't eat it because of where I came from. So it's like something new.
You don't eat what they prepared
like
for you.
Like something new for me. I've never even heard about it before.
The meal they prepared for you.
Yeah. So, but because.
Do you know what the meal was made from?
It's vegetables or something. It's vegetables.
So you don't eat vegetables?
No, like.
You don't eat that particular vegetable?
I don't eat that, but I've never heard about it before until I got to that particular vegetable.
Okay.
So I don't know the English name, so let me just
okay,
take
so
the vegetable.
It was a vegetable.
Okay, so all right. I got there, and then for us to be able to minister to them, I had to compromise my not eating that to eat it.
So you ate?
I ate it. And then I was able to win.
Did you enjoy it?
Someone asked if I enjoyed it.
They asked if you enjoyed it.
Actually, yeah. Since that day till today, I've been eating it.
That's a merit. Nice one. That's a real holy compromise. Okay. All right, let's take one more story. Anyone experience that maybe your own is drinking? Any more? Okay, you wanted to say, oh, yes, please go on.
I shared another example as well, where I did my undergrad too. I schooled in the north in Nigeria. And for those who know, the northern part of the country is
predominantly Muslim.
Predominantly Muslim, but there are Christians as well,
of
but
course.
Quite very conservative. And in terms of dressing, so usually if you wore trouser, you'd be seen as indecent.
Mm.
And
if you wore trouser as a woman?
Yes, or even as a Christian, you just be seen as, you're not a serious.
No, let's define it. Because men wear trousers. So even if a man wears trousers, okay, so please define it.
If you wore trousers as a woman or a female, yeah.
You are seen as indecent.
Indecent, yes.
Okay.
So, and the approach, you know, taking the gospel either within campus or to evangelize in villages, you wouldn't really be taken seriously. And I came from a family that... There was nothing wrong with wearing trousers.
Yeah.
So, but...
As a lady.
Yes, as a lady.
Okay.
As a lady. So, but the Christian community we were a part of, we were encouraged not to, so that we could reach out to the community that we're in.
Yeah.
So.
You did not.
Yeah, that was a big compromise.
So you wore.
You only wore skirts, dresses.
Okay.
And because just of that. Things that are probably out of your comfort zone that you would not really normally okay. wear.
So did that make you feel like a hypocrite?
No, because I knew why I was doing it. But although it was viewed by others
as
you being a hypocrite, because right. probably those that knew you on campus when they saw you
that's
back
so
at home.
So now why are you now not wearing trousers?
Yes. So
okay, so
that's misunderstanding.
So that's a demerit of making a holy compromise. Okay. Does anyone have issues with women wearing trousers? Or we shouldn't go there? Okay. You have a question. Okay, sir.
So when group one was speaking,
yep.
the question dropped to my mind.
All right.
And the question is this. I'm going to use an example with Uncle Tola.
Yep.
So I'm in a conversation with Uncle Tola about yep. a particular issue, which everyone could guess. And then...
why are you making us guess? We don't want to guess.
Okay, we are in
about
a particular
about marriage.
No, political.
Political. Conversation. That's okay. a compromise now.
Okay, so
okay, because he's a politician.
He comes from a camp that I don't.
You don't
believe,
belong to.
Yeah, I don't believe they are what they believe, and
okay.
I come from a camp. He doesn't believe what they believe.
That's right.
And then
you are both Christians.
And we are both Christians.
Born again.
And tongue speaking.
Okay. And you are in different political camps. Okay, so.
Okay, so. Okay, so. Two people that have two ideologies.
Yeah.
And then I have to like arguing about something. And then at a point I was like, you know what? No problem. And then I stopped the argument. Now, what are the. I've now compromised because I could argue from now until next week.
Okay.
Just to prove a point.
That's
now,
right.
What merit have I gained or by stopping the argument? Because he is going to go thinking like, oh yeah, he has won the argument.
He has won the argument.
To me, I just had to be like, let me just compromise and just make him feel good. But what's the merit and demerit in this occasion?
In that kind of situation.
Thank you.
Well, you see, let that's a very good example that you've brought up there. You see, when it comes to politics, let's hammer on politics. When it comes to politics, I am telling you, I have seen Christians sharply in contention, disagree, literally start insulting each other over politics. I'm talking of Christians, Bible-believing Christians. And I've seen also what I will call a little bit of an extreme where each party is now trying to justify their standpoint using scriptures or even saying that God said. Now, what we have to understand is we have to start looking at things that are of eternal value. Right? You belong to the conservatives. I belong to Labour. Do you know that it all ends here? Now, we abuse each other. We insult each other. We fall out because of politics. And in the process, we get into strife. And once you are into strife, sin definitely must follow. So those are the things we have to ask ourselves. So if you know what, believe whatever you believe, I'm not arguing with you. I think it's a wise thing to do because it's not of any eternal benefit that you prove to somebody that your Labour Party is better than their conservative beliefs. You know, like they say, it's wise to lose an argument rather than win an argument and lose a friend. So let's protect our relationships. Politics starts here and ends here. The people we debate, argue, fight over, you know, We don't know where they are going at the end of the age. And some of them are probably not going anywhere because of the kind of lifestyle and things they live. So why should I fight? Why should I kill myself, lose a relationship because of that? So let's make holy compromises there. Let's agree to disagree. You know, there's a country that, you know, the politics, I followed it because I was so much interested in what the men of God had to say about the elections. And I saw a very sharp divide. Some men of God say this is what God is saying. Some men of God say this is what, in fact, somebody even called me, was giving prophecy and all that. I said, no problem. At the end of your prophecy, when the election comes out, we'll see. At the end of the day, to me, things like that just exposes the depth of our faith, really. It just exposes what we believe. If we are really, really, really Christians indeed. So, you know, such things don't matter. Please believe and vote for whoever you want to vote for. It's called, do you know what the meaning of democracy is? Government, oh, somebody said demon. Government of the people, for the people, by the people. I don't see God in there. God rules in the affairs of men. Yeah, we can pray because we are commanded to pray for our leaders. And if you want to get into a position of leadership as a Christian, with all pleasure, go in there and do something righteous. Go there and make a change. But don't lose your faith because of politics. It's not worth it. Not worth it. Okay. Yes. Questions? Okay.
My question is, in this passage, what was really Paul's merit for compromising? Because all I can say is demerit.
Beautiful. In our group there, we were privileged to talk about the aftermath of what happened here. The aftermath is from the next verse, which we will study next, from verse 37 downwards, where Paul began to make his defense. Because all we see in this passage, like you rightly pointed out, is serious, serious demerits. Let's go into the passage. Let's go into the passage, for example. The Bible says from verse 29, or rather, let's say from verse 27, he compromised. What was the next thing? They saw him in the temple. They grabbed him, and they started beating him because they said, this is the man who was teaching everywhere against the people, against the law, and they even accused him of bringing Greeks into the temple to defile the temple. They accused him because they had seen him previously with Trophimus. How many of us remember Trophimus? What was that study then? Seven companions that you need in life. Sat Gates, you are good students. Trophimus was one of them. They saw him with Trophimus. They remember they saw him in Trophimus, with Trophimus. His association with the officiant called Trophimus brought him trouble here again. They, you know, just brought up a lot of trouble. The whole city was stirred up. People ran together. They started beating him. Clear demerits. Brethren, when you make a holy compromise, it comes at a price. It will cost you. That's one thing we have to look at here. It might give you a temporary setback. Temporary setback, because when you look at it here, what he wanted to achieve by even compromising was not what we see him achieving here. But if we read further, Number one, let me read to us some of the things here. If you read further, Paul himself explained when we read 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and Romans chapter 14. He explained that, look, to the Jew I became a Jew. Why? He said, so that I can save some. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 22 and 23. So, temporary setback, but if long term, he saved some. When you look at the opera, also there's a scripture in Acts chapter 23, verse 9. And this was even when, you know, they grabbed him. Because of his testimony, when you look at it, to the weak I became weak. No, let's go to Acts chapter 23. Acts 23, verse 9. Right? This was, there arose a great clamor. Some of the scribes of the Pharisees, part stood up and strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. This was Paul. And what if it's a spirit that spoke to him or an angel? Please give us the King James Version, because that, apart from the ESV, right? Okay. The great cry, the scribes that were of the Pharisees, part arose, strove, saying, we find no evil in this man. But if a spirit or an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. He warned some of them to his side as a result of the compromise, ultimately. So that's one merit, but it comes at a price. When you are about to make such compromises, be ready to pay the price. Yes, sir.
How do you differentiate between compromise and pure foolishness or lack of wisdom? I'll give an example.
Okay.
If you go into a place where it's they are quite hostile.
Yeah.
For instance, Paul.
Yeah.
When he was accused as being one of Jesus's disciples.
That's Peter.
Peter. And then he
denied Jesus.
Was he compromising at that point, or was he being a coward or foolish? Because I'm just saying, because if you go to a country where they are hostile to Christians, for instance, how do you behave?
Okay, let's address Peter. Now, when you look at what happened to Peter, Peter had been forewarned by Jesus that he was going to deny him. So he was simply carrying out what Jesus said he will do. But remember, later he repented. He realized himself. Now, was he foolish there, or was he being wise? Of course, excuse me, denial is denial. He denied Jesus. Let's call it spade a spade. He denied Jesus at that point. So we go to a country where they are hostile to Christianity. Please, let's remember one teaching of Paul. Paul taught the church in Rome, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You go to a place where you know there's that hostility against Christianity. You don't even need to go to a place where there's hostility. Just let's remember the Holy Spirit to always guide us. Now, there's a scripture that says that when a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Please, let's not misunderstand that scripture at times. He didn't say that when a man's ways please the Lord, that he will have no enemies again. No, he will still have enemies. But what that simply tells us is that the enemies won't even be able to harm him. One version says he will make his enemies to become his well-wishers. Have you not seen where God will use the enemy? For your sake? For your own cause? So let's just be sensitive and stay sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit when we find ourselves in very hostile environments. In fact, in any environment, we should always be led by the Spirit. So when we are led by the Spirit, that's wisdom. But we will be foolish if we want to do things now in the flesh when we are not led. I mean, we've seen it in the book of the Acts we're studying, where Paul wanted to go and preach somewhere. Twice, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit forbade them. Being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And also, let's remember Paul, the previous verses we read here. He was told by the people, the brethren, that if he goes to Jerusalem, this is what will happen to him. He was foretold, even via prophecy. What did he say? He said he's not only ready to go to Jerusalem, he's ready to die. That's one of the merits of holy compromise. It's also a sign that you are ready to die for what you believe. You will do anything just because of what you believe to get your message across. He was beaten, black and blue. And remember, this is not the first time they were beaten. In fact, there are lots of beatings. From here on, we will see beatings. That guy was beaten, man. There was a time he was beaten, they thought he was dead, so they left him. The guy just rose up again from the dead and went, the Bible said, went to preach again. Man, that guy is stubborn. I don't know if, just be led by the Spirit. And if you are ready to die, just know that, yes, you are ready to die. Yeah.
And also,
what you believe.
In answer to the question that was asked, I think it's also about perspective. You know, we see it as him being beaten.
Suffering.
But if we go back to Acts of the Apostles 9:16, Jesus said, I will show him what he will suffer. For the kingdom's sake.
That's right.
So, and the suffering of the word says the suffering of this present time is nothing compared to the glory.
Eternity.
So the perspective as well, to us, it looks like suffering. It looks like a demerit.
That's right.
But like you said, the eternal value.
That's right.
There's an eternal value to it. There's a weight of glory. Mm. And I think we should probably change our perspective from, you know, what looks like pain or suffering here, and looking at it from, Jesus said, anybody that must follow him will suffer persecution.
That's right.
So we should never see persecution as a demerit, but see it as blessed are those that...
Part of the package.
Part of.
The Bible talks about Jesus. It says that who for the joy that was set before him. What did he do? He despised the shame and endured the cross. If we truly believe, we should be ready to die for what we believe. Do you know some people are ready to die and they don't believe in your Jesus, but they are ready to die for a cause that they believe in? Those who will live righteous in this world will suffer persecution. So we're just looking at the merits and the demerits. Like our brother said, let's have the right perspective. Because some of us might be suffering right now for the sake of the gospel. At least I know one or two of us in this room. It looks like a demerit. But please be encouraged. There's an eternal glory. And Jesus said this, and please hold on to this promise. Said there's no one who forsakes father, mother, houses, land for my sake. He says he will first of all have their reward here, and then in the life to come, an eternal reward. See, this gospel and this faith we have should bring us to points at times where, you know what? If I perish, I perish. Let me perish trusting and believing God. Amen. Is there anything online? No. I think this is a good place to stop. We've overshot our time by 5 minutes. Now, as we close, some of us, let's think about a decision, something you are making up your mind right now that you will do. Something you will carry out within the next 24 hours or 48 hours based on tonight's word you have received. A decision that you will make. A decision. For the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ, I will do this. I'm ready to endure this cross. I'm ready to despise this shame. Do you know some of us have been called all sorts of names, laughed at, just because we believe in God, we come for Bible study like this? There's some things some of us will not do. There's some juicy things that is being, you know, dangled before us. But for the sake of the gospel, we won't even accept. It's called a holy compromise. There's reward, brethren. Let's just reflect for a minute or two. Make a decision. Make a righteous stand. I'd rather die believing God, like the giants of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Some of them did not even see what they believed God for. They trusted God till their last breath. They're in the hall of fame, in the annals of those who stood their ground. Brethren, we must get to points where we will tell ourselves, what if God does not answer this particular prayer? Will you still serve Him? Will you still worship? What if? What if? Please let's receive strength tonight. Let's receive strength again. Strength to endure till the end. We're going through trials, tribulations, temptations. There's no temptation that is taking you, saith the Lord, that is not common to man. But God will, with the same temptation, make the way of escape. Don't try to make the way yourself. God is the way. Jesus is the way. Look up to Him. Trust Him. It's a trial. It's a temptation. It's a pain. It's temporary. Bring it into perspective of eternity. It's temporary. It's temporary. It's temporary. Don't compromise your faith for a pottage. For porridge, for temporary pleasure. Don't compromise. Thank you, Lord. Father, we just submit ourselves to you again. Some of us are going through situations, Lord, they are breaking us. They are too painful, too hard for us. But thank you, Lord Jesus. You bore our sicknesses, our diseases. The chastisement of our peace was upon you. By your stripes, we were healed. We ask right now for healing. We ask right now for strength. We ask that the spirit of Him that raised Jesus from the dead quickens our physical bodies. Lord, we ask, you have not given any one of us the spirit of fear. I banish every fear right now. Please resist every fear right now. Resist every fear. Somebody is afraid. You are afraid. You are afraid. Just tell God right now, I do not have and I will not entertain that fear anymore. for you have not given me the spirit of fear. Please declare, I have the spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. A sound mind. Our minds are sound. Father, we are healed. We are refreshed. Your word has been sent to us tonight, never to return to you void. Your word is here, sent to make us prosperous, prospering where you have sent it. Thank you for making a way where there seems to be none. To you be all the glory as we endure till the end. Thank you for our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. To the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please feel free to be accountable to someone and tell them